Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Nida Daf Vav, Nida 6, and today's Daf Yomi. The Gemara records the following approach of Rav Huna. Says Rav Huna, Amar Rav Huna, that if we're talking about Tumah, ritual impurity for a Nida woman, where she discovered that there was some blood on her that was Nida blood, then we say Me Ace La Ace, that she's retroactively going to be, anything she touched for the past 24 hours is going to be considered Tumah. So says Rav Huna, Me Ace La Ace, Sheba Nida Metame Bein LaKodesh Ubein LaTruma, that these past 24 hours that anything she touched is going to make it tameh, ritually impure, with respect to something that was kadshim, which is a sacred offering, ubein l'truma, or whether it was the truma. These are the food that only a kohen is allowed to eat, the tithe that a kohen is allowed to eat. So the Gemara asks about this question, mimai, how do we know these things? And from where do we know that? And the Gemara answers, mi deloka tani l'agabi malos, how do we know that it applies both to kachim and to truma? And the Gemara's answer is from the fact that that the Tana did not teach this with respect to the malos, that we learned in Chagigah 20b that there were certain areas in by kachim which they were stricter than truma, where the sacred food was stricter than the tithed food, and this was not listed as one of those areas. So we see from here that the kachim and the truma have the same law with respect to retroactive tumah as it relates to a nida. So Rav Nachman challenges this. So Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Huna, "Va'tani Tana, but we have learned that there was a chacham who taught a Tana. He taught a brisa, and he taught the following. He said that the tumah me'es la'es of nida, the retroactive tumah with respect to nida, a kodesh of a lola truma, that it was said only with respect to kachim, but not with respect to truma. So why are you saying that it said with respect to kachim and with respect to truma?" So the Gemara says, "Kibul minei Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak," that Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak received Rav Nachman's question, and he explained it. He said that when it says Kodesh of a lower truma, that what was that a reference to? That was Bechul and Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh. That which we say that it applies to Kachim, this Me'es La'es, the retroactive Tumah of the Nida, does not apply to actually Kachim and not to Truma. That's not what it means, because it really applies to both Kachim and Truma. But there's another category. There are certain people who eat all of their Chulin food, their non-sacred food. They eat it nevertheless as though it was Kachim, and there are other people who eat their Chulin food as though it is Truma. And so when we say that the retroactive tumah of nida applies for 24 hours, that's with respect to chulin food, that they were eating it as though it was kachim. They were careful to eat all their food as though it was kachim. So then retroactively we would say that the tumah applies to that. But it doesn't apply to people who are careful to eat all their chulin, shenasu al taras truma. All those people who are careful to eat their chulin as though it was truma. That in that case, which is a lesser level of sanctity, a lesser level of safeguarding, we're not going to say that the decree applies. And so therefore, that's the distinction. As it applies to actual kachim and actual truma, then we don't draw a distinction. But as it applies to the chulin that is in, as though it is kachim, we do say it applies, but not not in the circumstance of where it applies to chulin shenasu al taras truma. And that's a distinction that was drawn. So this idea of chulin shenasu al taras kodesh and chulin shenasu al taras truma is something that for the most part doesn't apply anymore today, because today we don't eat anything. We say, because there's no red heifer, we have no ability to have any level of ritual purity as it relates to tumah and tahara, and specifically also as it relates to kachim, which doesn't exist anymore today, and nobody eats the truma today anymore, not even the kohanim. But nevertheless, there are some people, there are some holy people through our history who did try to maintain this even after the destruction of the temple and even after the loss of the red heifer. So the Rush writes that Rav Sazh Gaon said that people who immerse in the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur should say actually a blessing for the immersion. And the Rush challenges this, because the Rush says that this immersion has nothing to do with, it's not in the Talmud, it's not in the prophets, and so therefore he says that that there's no reason to recite this blessing on immersion. However, there are some people who say, no, we should recite this blessing because we are still attaining a higher level of holiness, which we didn't have before. And in this context, in the context of immersing in the mikvah before Yom Kippur, we actually know that there were some people who took upon themselves for the entire 7 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that they tried to achieve an even higher level of holiness. And the Shlah writes that there were some people who tried even today to eat all their food with this ritual level of purity. And in this context, we have also Rav Chaim Vital records in that was indeed a practice of the Ari, that the Ari tried during the week between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to try to achieve this level of not eating anything that was possibly tameh. So how would they do this? So even though it's something very, very difficult to do, because today we are all considered to be ritually impure from the dead, nevertheless, it's possible to do it if you would find food that never became hukshar l'kabal tumah. In order for a food to have tumah on it, it would first have to have water poured on it. And so therefore, you could eat certain foods that had never touched water. And if you're able to eat foods that have never touched water, therefore, you're never able to they won't be able to contract tumah. And so therefore, if the dough was only mixed with fruit juice and not with water, and also so for example, if they wanted to drink water itself, they would go down to the well or to a river and they would drink directly from it without first taking it into a cup and drinking it in that manner. And so therefore, there were some people, holy people like Rav Chaim Vital and the Shlah and the Ari, who discussed being able to eat in this manner during the week between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.